Today, I'll briefly go through some of the more common nutritional diseases seen in livestock here in Hawaii, and I'll finish by discussing the pros and cons of the different testing methods. Copper deficiency can be caused by deficient copper intake, but it's more commonly caused by increased levels of other minerals that antagonize copper, such as iron, molybdenum, zinc, and sulfur. Decreased copper levels will cause a number of different changes in the body. For example, copper is necessary to make the enzyme tyrosinase, which is important in melanin synthesis. This is why you see the coat color change in the affected animals. You can also see fatty degeneration of the muscle fibers in the heart, which can result in heart failure or sudden death. Copper deficiency can in turn cause iron deficiency by decreasing the levels of ceruloplasmin, which is important for iron absorption by the gut. In lambs and kids, you can see demyelination or degeneration of the nerves. Copper deficiency can also cause abnormal bone development, foot problems, decreased immune response, and various reproductive problems. In this radiograph, the copper deficient animal is on the left and the normal animal is on the right. You can see that the bone near the joints are flared and the growth plates, which are the dark lines, are widened. There is also less bone density in the bone itself. The photo on the right shows an animal with similar lesions. Copper is also important for the strength and integrity of the vessels in the body. In pigs and turkeys, copper deficiency can cause ruptures of the aorta and sudden death. In sheep and goats, there is degeneration of the myelin, resulting in the disease known as swayback or enzootic ataxia. Here's a couple of quick notes on animal testing for copper deficiency. Serum levels of copper are not as good as measuring liver levels to detect true copper deficiency in the animal. Liver copper is the best indicator of a copper deficiency since it is the site of copper storage. You can also measure the activity of certain copper-containing enzymes in the serum to get a pretty good idea of true copper levels in the body. I do have to mention that if copper is oversupplemented, you can see the opposite syndrome, especially in sheep. Copper will accumulate in the liver while the level in the serum remains at or near the normal levels. If copper levels increase above the toxic level, or if the animal ingests liver toxins such as pyrrolizidine, alkaloids, or mycotoxins, the liver is damaged and releases copper into the serum. The now elevated serum levels of copper will cause the red blood cells to rupture, leading to hemolytic anemia. The hemoglobin that is released is filtered by the kidney, which also damages those tissues. In these photos, the kidneys are black because of the hemoglobin that is trapped there. The liver and the kidney should also be about the same color, so here you can see that this liver is pale, indicating the presence of liver necrosis. The next nutritional disease I'm going to talk about is calcium deficiency, which actually involves phosphorus and vitamin D levels as well. Ideally, the calcium to phosphorus ratio should be between 1.5 to 2 parts calcium to 1 part phosphorus. Excessive magnesium, phosphorus, and sulfur levels can decrease the amount of calcium that is absorbed. When calcium is low, the body increases the amount of parathyroid hormone to try to absorb more calcium from the gut and from the bones, which, over time, can lead to osteoporosis. Calcium deficiency can present as two very different clinical syndromes. There is the transient, rapid form seen in animals in the period around calving, and this is most commonly seen in dairy cattle. The true chronic form of calcium deficiency results in a rickets-like disease where the bones do not develop normally and are weak. You can also see reproductive problems. Serum calcium can be used to diagnose the disease in the living animal. In the recently dead animal, however, you can use fluids from the eye for testing. You can also measure calcium levels in the bone. This is a typical stage 2 milk fever presentation. The animal is down, but she can keep herself upright. The neck is curved in this S-shaped manner as she tries to keep her head upright. With the rickets form of calcium, phosphorus, or vitamin D deficiency, you'll see an increase in rib fractures and enlarged fetlocks. In horses, when the calcium to phosphorus ratio is too low, either due to low calcium or more likely due to high phosphorus intake, again, the body increases the secretion of parathyroid hormone, which mobilizes calcium from the bone. This results in soft bones that develop swellings, especially of the facial bones. That's why this disease is known as big head. Phosphorus deficiency can cause poor growth, unthriftiness, impaired reproductive performance, and bone abnormalities like rickets, as previously mentioned. Phosphorus deficiency may also cause a decrease in the animal's immune response. Animals with severe phosphorus deficiency may exhibit pica, which is the ingestion of items that are not typically consumed, such as bones, sticks, or rocks. This deficiency is best diagnosed by measuring bone or bone ash levels of phosphorus. Serum, plasma, or urine may also be used to detect low phosphorus levels, but it may take weeks for a deficient animal to show low levels in those samples. Magnesium deficiency causes a clinical syndrome known as grass tetany. It can look a lot like milk fever clinically and is usually seen in older cows. The animals start off looking irritable, and then they'll develop fine muscle trembling. They'll froth at the mouth, then go down, convulse, and die. If they have involvement of the heart, they can also present with just sudden death. Milder forms of the disease will show decreased feed intake and milk yield. In this image, we have a cow here that shows that typical kind of frothing that you'll see with animals that die from magnesium deficiency. The best samples to detect magnesium deficiency in an animal that is found dead are urine or vitreous humor in the eye. Urine or serum may also be used to monitor magnesium deficiency in live animals. Vitamin E and selenium are both involved in the body's mechanism to protect against free radicals that cause oxidative damage to tissues. Selenium is another mineral that is antagonized by high levels of sulfur. The disease caused by vitamin E or selenium deficiency is known as white muscle disease. There are two forms of white muscle disease. The cardiac form primarily affects the heart and can cause rapid or sudden death. The skeletal muscle form, which is shown here in this image, has a slower onset and causes white to yellow, pale, sometimes chalky streaks in the muscle. The muscles that are most used are the ones that are most affected. This image shows animals severely affected with white muscle disease. In this case, the muscles that support the weight of the trunk have severely weakened and ruptured, resulting in a condition known as flying scapula. This photo shows one way that heart lesions may appear with white muscle disease. Note the white chalky patches marked by the arrows. Signs associated with selenium deficiency include a number of reproductive problems, such as a higher proportion of retained placentas, abortions, weak or stillborn calves, and decreased fertility, as well as decreased growth rate and immune response. The liver is the best sample for diagnosing selenium deficiency. The next disease I'll go over is vitamin A deficiency. This disease is seen more often after drought when forage quality is low. Vitamin A is necessary for vision, maintenance of the many epithelial tissues in the body, development, and immune function. Vitamin A is not stable in storage and can lose up to 50% of its activity with long-term storage. Ruminants are able to convert carotene from plants into vitamin A. Animals with vitamin A deficiency may have decreased growth, rough hair coat, night blindness, diarrhea, respiratory disease, seizures, increased susceptibility to infections, abnormal sperm, abnormal bone growth, low conception rates, or increased rates of abortion, stillbirths, and weak calves. Calves that are produced from cows with low vitamin A levels may have microophthalmia, which means that their eyes are small and almost undetectable. The optic nerve, which is responsible for vision, may be constricted during development, and you may see changes in the eyes such as dilated pupils, retinal degeneration, and edema of the optic disc. The image on the right shows the back of the eye of a normal animal. The whitish round object toward 6 o'clock is the optic disc. The image on the left shows the eye of an animal with vitamin A deficiency. The red arrow is pointing toward the optic disc, which is swollen and has blurred edges. The best way to detect vitamin A deficiency is by measuring it in the liver, either in the live animal via a liver biopsy or on a sample obtained after the animal has died. One thing to note is that calves that are born with clinical signs will probably not benefit from supplementing with vitamin A, since the damaging effects are not usually reversible. Fluorosis is a disease caused by increased intake of fluoride. We see it here in Hawaii associated with exposure to volcanic ash. The excessive amounts of fluoride will accumulate in the bones and the kidneys. The effect is cumulative, so animals that are exposed for long periods of time are at highest risk of developing disease. If animals are exposed to increased levels of fluoride during the period of tooth development, the enamel doesn't form properly and becomes soft, chalky, and discolored. You might observe abnormal appearing teeth or abnormal wearing of teeth. You may also notice delayed eruption of the permanent incisors. Other symptoms that you may see with increased levels of fluoride are lameness, stiffness of gait, abnormal hooves, delayed estrus, and decreased reproductive performance. This photo shows bony swellings in the fetlock area of this affected animal. In this photo, we see examples of varying levels of bony proliferation and swellings of the bones. 4-H testing is recommended if you are concerned about airborne fluoride exposure. The animal's urine can be tested for fluorine levels, but the bones themselves, especially the ribs or lower jaw bones, are the best samples for testing. 4-H analysis is useful because it provides a real-time snapshot of the nutrition available in the forage. However, it does not necessarily represent what is going on in the animal, especially with respect to chronic changes. I've attached a link here for the nutritional requirements of cattle that you can access on the internet. This can assist you in evaluating whether your forage is meeting your animal's nutritional needs. In the live animal, serum can be a useful sample, but it must be separated from the clot very soon after collection. The serum should be collected in a royal blue top tube for best results. Once the serum is separated, it's okay to freeze the sample if it won't be shipped or tested right away. Whole blood can also be used, but it's important to remember not to freeze it. Other samples that can be used for testing in a live animal are milk, urine, and liver tissue collected by biopsy. Urine is okay to freeze and store if it can't be tested right away. Here is a complete list of tissues that I recommend to save at the time of necropsy or slaughter. The best tissue for most types of testing is the liver. Kidney can also be a useful organ, especially for elements like lead. Bone is a good tissue to test for calcium, phosphorus, or fluoride. Ocular fluid, including aqueous or vitreous humor, urine, fat for the fat-soluble compounds, brain, and rumen content are also good samples to save. Some other criteria to consider when deciding which animals to sample to get the best information are the age of the animal being tested. For some mineral issues, for example, an aborted fetus can be used to detect some deficiencies, but for others, adult animal levels provide you the most accurate numbers. In general, you will want to sample groups of age-matched animals at the same stage of production versus testing just one ill individual. An animal that is ill with a non-nutritional disease may have abnormal values. Thank you very much for listening to this presentation, and I hope it helped you understand the more common diseases in cattle caused by mineral imbalances.